morality. By the way, Miss Cindy today sent me a text, a little video. The girls in her class, they cut loose with their Old Testament songs and Old Testament books of the Bible in song. And it was just fabulous, just fantastic. And I've yet to share that, I know, with Miss Lauren. I know she'll like to hear that and the rest of them. But it's a blessing. And thank you, girls, for that. Thank you, Miss Cindy, and your parents for doing such a good job. This last week, the young lady just played the flute, did an excellent job, and she must have heard the way to a man's heart is through his belly. She made her brand new good-looking husband a big batch of cookies, and she made them. They were peanut butter cookies, my daddy's favorite cookie in the world. The world over is peanut butter cookies. And I like them too. Not quite as much as chocolate chip, but I like them. And she brought those cookies up here. And, well, we had a good time with those cookies. And she's a good cook. And then, next thing you know, she brought a bag to visitation yesterday morning. And, boy, they were calling my name just sitting over there, you know. And, I mean, couple of cookies for visitation is always a good idea. And so I started to get one. She said, oh no, you got to do your job first. I said, Yankee. Got to do my job. Well, you got to do visitation first before you get a cookie. Like, man, hard taskmaster right there, you know. So, Brother Colt, I think he was conspiring with me a little bit underneath the, you know, the surface, and he decided to put their group out first. And she had taken these cookies with her in a bag, you know, baggie there, and she had them on the little jumper seat we have in the van there, and they were just sitting there. They're getting out of the van, getting ready to go do God's work, you know, and getting out of the van, and she looked back over her shoulder. She said, I know how many cookies are in that bag. Sassy. I said, boy, she's got my number already. How did she know I was thinking about those cookies? I was going to get one before I went. I couldn't get it the first time. I try again. And boy, howdy, she nailed me. But I'm happy to say, man, after visitation, I ate 10. I'm kidding, not quite 10, but they were good again. And so we're having a good time. And God bless you, Sydney. And appreciate you. Proverbs chapter 5. You already there? Verse 1. Quite a bit of reading. Then we'll get into a little bit of a lengthy outline. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, as sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. It's sort of like, you know, mercury. You can't quite get your hands around it. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Over to chapter 6, verse 5. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Drop on down to verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, speaking about wisdom and law, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In other words, good for us. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither take her, let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. So with an agenda, see, they're going after that precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Chapter 7, verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, the young fools, the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Now notice, he doesn't have to be, but this particular one is. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. That's a mistake already. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. So there is the dress that is recognized to be of a harlot. And subtle of heart, she is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with thee. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. You're very special. Diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, and as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I like to share this outline, which is something we need to go back to again and again and again, because if you're alive on this earth and you still have blood in your veins, this is for you and it's for me. I like to give us a little help here on how to withstand and prevent sexual temptations and adultery. It's better not to go there than to go there and have to deal with the problems that arise from it. So the first thing I believe we need to do that we'll see here is recognize that we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. 5:3 says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Paul writes to the carnal church, he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Years ago, I had a good man. He's a good man. He's with the Lord now, but he's a good man. And I made mention, he said he was going to such and such a place, and I said, well, you know, that's good, and kind of navigate that whole thing so he didn't have to be alone, you know, with the woman. He said, oh, that's not a problem. I said, you're a liar, sir. That's what I told him. I was a young man, but I just felt led of the Lord. Don't have anything to do with that. You're a liar, sir. And he wasn't that old. But you're a liar, sir, if you think that you live on this planet and you never have to deal with lust. You're a liar. Recognize, but by the grace of God, there go I. You better, and I better. Realize our vulnerability. Now, if you get past the entry level of a boat, I'm talking about like a past the John boat. John has a boat. Well, John has a boat, but this is a John boat. It's a particular boat. Okay, if you don't know anything about boats, you look it up, YouTube it later. But they'll either start coming up with either mechanical or electric or some hydraulic tilt and trim system to help you out on your elevation of your boat and dealing with waves and things like that. And if you're wanting to work your way through rougher water, you're going to need a tilt and trim set, or you're going to need a milk jug cut where you can have a scooper with a cap on it where you can bail water. And sometimes we bail just as much water, you know, as it seems like we were going across. But if, in case you haven't heard it, the Titanic did sink. Big ships, big men, big women have sunk. And it's not, well, not the big women, but she probably floats. But, I probably shouldn't have said that either, should I? Okay, but ships do sink. Let me just say it that way. If y'all wouldn't laugh, I wouldn't have known. Oh, well, let's move on. Proverbs 7:26, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. You don't have to be weak to fall. You can be great, strong individual, man or woman, and fall. I've had so many people that I loved, and even some that I really looked up to, who have fallen. It's always heartbreaking, always disappointing. But many strong men and women have fallen thinking, that can't happen to me, and then it happened to them. Denial. It can happen to those who are young and they're single digits, and it can happen to those who are long and gray. In his book, Tim LaHaye says, never trust the flesh, especially your own. That's pretty good counsel. That's Tim and Beverly LaHaye. By the way, he was a Southern Baptist preacher. Famous youth minister, Henrietta Mears, said, quote, I wouldn't trust the best man we have with the wrong woman. Now, that's experience. That's a woman of wisdom. A Christian woman, a God-fearing woman. I wouldn't trust the best man we have with the wrong woman. Go ahead and the lady say amen. It's bad news. Bad news. Above most things that we understand a man's going to be a man and a woman's going to be a woman, and we are different. We may entertain unisex ideas in the workplace, even at home, but the physical facts outweigh all policies, be they company or government. Yeah. I don't know what I would do. This young Gaines girl, and I say girl, she's a young adult. What a hero. I mean, God bless her. We need strong girls, strong women. And well, she's tough, and I pray for her hide. She's going to need to be tough-hided, you know. And she's taking a stand, as she should. What would you think as a daddy to have your baby girl in a locker room with a dude pretending to be a girl, undressing? I might lose my religion. I might. I wouldn't be happy about that at all, and it'd be a temptation for me to go places that the police is going to have to show up. That's a crossing of a line, a big line. Men know this, that you may think seeing a naked, and you don't have to be without any clothes on to be scripturally naked, by the way. You may think seeing a naked or skimpily dressed woman on TV or calendars, walking down the street, whatever it may be, do not affect me or do not affect you, but you'd be wrong. It does affect you. God made man with a powerful sex drive. It's okay for y'all to say amen anywhere along the way here, you know. Maybe not at this point, but somewhere along the way. And that drive is powerful enough to ensure the population of this earth. It's pretty powerful. We need to dwell with knowledge about such things. Amen? Don't underestimate that drive in your life. It has a tendency to show up maybe even when you least expect it. By the way, that goes for women too. You know, if somebody's on a diet, you probably shouldn't keep strawberry cheesecake in the refrigerator. Did I hear a snort? Was that my daughter? Tim LaHaye tells of a time, and listen, I appreciate preachers who are open and honest. I do. I mean, it's real where we really live. Let's just go ahead and go there. Let's not pretend that, well, that's not me. Well, you're a liar, sir. And he tells a time when he was staying at a hotel after a meeting and flipping through the television channels and saw immorality. And before he could think to turn the channel, his emotions, he didn't normally see something like that. His emotions were running wild. Passion. Pretty powerful, isn't it? I said, isn't it? Yeah. And it scared him. That's a good thing. And he turned it off quickly. Realize we're vulnerable and set some boundaries. There are things we have no business being around. Sins, especially sins of the flesh, like this, are helped along by our natural desires. And Satan uses natural desire of the opposite sex against us. He'll use that. Satan is not, you know, so good that he wouldn't use any tool in his wagon. He'll use every tool, no matter how unfair or wicked it may be. His goal is to take you down as he's going down, and he knows it. So we talked about the tilt and trim on your boat. If you're going to go through rough waters, would you agree with me? We're adults. Wouldn't you agree with me that we are in turbulent waters these days when it comes to sensuality and morality? I mean, they can't sell batteries without sexuality. They can't sell detergents without sexuality. About anything you do, they have the sex symbol up there selling it. So if we're going to be in turbulent waters, we need to preset our tilt and trim. We need to be sure. Years ago, I had a manual boat and it had manual tilt and trim on it. And if you knew you're going to be in rough waters, you had to set that before you ever got out there in the water. Or you're going to be in trouble out there in the middle of the lake or the river, you know, trying to set that manually. It's a lot easier to get the one on the column if you can. So you need to learn how to preset your trim. Rough waves are eventually going to come. The wind's going to eventually blow. And you better be ready for the rough water. Readiness is a principle found in God's Word, being ready. Are you ready? Let's get started. Remember the cheers years ago, the girls come out. Are you ready for the football game? You know, are you ready? Let's get started. Are you ready? Let's get started. That's Bible, by the way. Are you ready? Be ready. Readiness is taught in the Bible. Be ready for life. Be ready for rough waters. Well, how do we do this? So look in chapter 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Now, where do we first get those instructions? Well, from mom and dad, and it should come from mom and dad. And some of this, by the way, should not come from teachers. It should come from moms and dads. That's another whole subject, and I'll get on that some other time. But to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So how do we set, how do we preset this? Bible study, lamp unto my feet, listening and obeying parents, learning with wisdom that which we need to embrace, listening to elders who've been there, done that, know about the temptations, know about the dangers, and will help you through those things. So you don't get sucked in. Listening to good counselors, getting wisdom. Think on these things. That's a good one. What are you thinking on all the time? Think on these things. Some people, their minds are in the gutter all the time, it seems. You can't hardly say anything without them bending it to the gutter. My son, chapter 7, verse 1, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. You want to live? Keep the word of God. My law is the apple of thine eye, the center of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. What for? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the improper moral immoral relationship, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Then when we're confronted with this wicked world and the turbulent waters, we'll have a much better defense against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. We're better prepared. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Number 3. Stay away from turbulent waters. If you fish out in the intercoastal waterways and you know something about tides. Now, my wife didn't know anything about tides coming from West Texas. She was just taken back by tides, how fast the water can run out into the ocean and back into the rivers. If you don't know where things can get testy, you can get in trouble. It's all because of the tides or winds as they come up. And the winds were prevalent like that on the Sea of Galilee and create tempestuous winds, cross winds. And it's dangerous, especially when you don't have a big motorboat. It's especially dangerous. And you need to be aware of what causes turbulent waters and where turbulent waters are likely to be. Years ago, we used to go fishing out across from Heckscher Drive in Jacksonville, Florida, and that was the ship lane. Not too far from the NASA base, or sorry, the Navy base over there in Jacksonville. Mayport, I think that's called. And there are some areas out there that if you're in a smaller boat, you don't want to be there at high tide. Why? Because ships are going to come in there in high tide. And they're not little boats. They're big monster ships. And you will want to have a milk jug handy. Because if you're sitting there fishing, it's not if you're going to get water in the boat, it's how much water you're going to get in the boat. And if you get caught out there in the middle of this time, you could be in serious trouble. It depends on the size of your boat. So learn how to stay away from turbulent waters in times when turbulence is found. I had a little 12-foot Kingfisher flat bottom boat. Some of you probably been in that boat years ago. It had a mechanical lift on it, tilt and trim. And one day I was going to go after those sand bass. I was known in those days as Mr. Sand Bass. I mean, I'd come into church and different men, fishermen, would grab my hand and look at my thumb, and they could tell how many fish I caught from my thumb. If you don't fish me, you have no idea what I'm talking about. How much my thumb was tore up from lipping those fish, they would know how many fish that I caught. And boy, I caught a bunch of them. And I'm glad the game wasn't around a few times. I caught a lot of fish in that boat. But one time, you know, I knew it was about time to go, you know, to get to the spot, the honey hole. You say, where's the honey hole? I'm not telling you where the honey hole is. It's the prerogative of a fisherman to tell you where the honey holes are. But I knew if I can get up that creek, man, I think they may be there. They may already be there. But you had to kind of time it just right because the winds can get up in the springtime pretty serious. And this is a small boat. And I had horse traded, and I probably had $100 in that boat. I'd done real good. The Lord's blessed me in my horse trading through the years. And I got ready, and I was, oh, man, I'm going to go. And I said, okay, the waves are up, but I can surf the waves to the north. The wind's coming out of the south. And I had that little outboard 10-horse Johnson on that thing. And, you know, and I could get up on that wave, and, man, I could just surf, just stay with the wave. Lord, stay with the wave. Everything's all right. I got it. It's under control. Well, this is the first time of the year that I was going up there. And every year you have to kind of re-familiarize yourself with where you're supposed to cut off, and I cut off too early. I ended up in a cove over there by Rockwall instead of all the way up north where I could safely get into the creek. And in the evening time, the wind would drop down and you'd come out and no problem. Well, it became a problem. I got up there and I was surfing along. Man, I'm like, where's the Beach Boys music? You know, here we go. And I got in there. Man, I turned right too soon and now I'm in trouble. Now I tried to come out of that cove and I'm in trouble. I'm going crosswind and that water is coming over in the boat and it was cold. It was all, like late February. And I'm trying to get there early, get the firstest. And I got in trouble. And what happened is I had to get down to the bottom of that boat to stay out of the wind. I was soaking wet by this time. Get down to the bottom of that boat, just dock it, you know, up on the dirt in that cove, and lay there in the bottom of that boat till dark, until I could finally get out. In other words, we have to learn how to navigate our area and know where the problems are. And if there's a certain area or a certain time of night or a certain place in town that's more likely going to be turbulent waters, learn to stay away from those places. Don't get in trouble in the first place. Use your head. Stay out of trouble. I've told you about the lady who walked right out of the shopping center and walked right out into a mugging, and it was clear as day she was going to be mugged if she just kept walking straight and she walked right into it. Most law officers will tell you the best thing you have as a personal defense is your head. Use it. Think about what we are doing. Now, in Proverbs 7:8, the Bible says, passing through the street near her corner. Well, if you know where her corner is, stay away from her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening. Timing's all bad. Bad choices. And dark night. Brother Stephen, bless his heart, I went out to Vegas with him to help him pitch a barrel assembly out there to high-end investors and all with the firearm industries. I'd never been to Vegas in my life. And we stayed at a hotel the whole time, all except one little pocket of a time. And he said, I want to take you down here to see this fountain show. A lot of people like to go see this fountain. And he said, so we're going to go outside of the hotel. We didn't go anywhere else. I mean, just right there in the hotel. And that was kind of bad enough. And he said, don't take anything from anybody. And you walk out, and these women are trying to hand you little cards for their business. And they're not trying to. They're insisting. They're just putting it right on your chest. Put it in your pocket if you let them. I mean, wickedness like you just wouldn't believe. I never saw anything like that any time in my life. But he warned me and he said, listen, don't take anything and don't touch anything. He said, we're going to go up an escalator. Don't touch the handrails on the escalator. Don't touch anything. And he said, there's nothing around here clean. Nothing. So, the whole time I'm like, man, here I am. I had to fly and I don't have my gun. You're talking about wickedness. Where's my gun? I want my gun. You know, if this place is so bad. And so we go out and we go down the road, and it was before dark. And I said, well, why don't we just go and then we'll get home? He said, oh, yeah, we'll be back in our room before dark. Why? Well, it should be obvious. More troubles after dark. More troubles after dark. There are places where immorality is more prevalent than at other times. When, where, stay away from those places. Stay away from those places. If you know at the lounge there's going to be those women at the conference, come on, don't go by the lounge. Stay away from those places. Use your head. Think. Stay away from those places. The wisdom of the Word of God would tell us stay away from places like that and at times like that. By the way, it's healthy for kids to have a curfew. And it's even good for adults to generally have a curfew. Be home at a reasonable time. You know, people say nothing but trouble is out after a certain amount of time, usually 11 or 12 o'clock. Nothing much to find out there but trouble. And that's generally true. Now, if you're coon hunting, you're forgiven. I know there's some exceptions, but we need to learn how to set some limitations on our behavior to safeguard our souls. And that's wisdom at work. That's wisdom at work. If we allow our kids to wander around the streets, next thing you know, they're going to be acting like street people. Don't be surprised when they come home with something that you didn't expect. The Bible tells us also to run. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. So hang with the right people that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. Joseph left his coat with a woman who was trying to get her hooks in him. That's the way my daddy would say it. Trying to get her hooks in him. A would-be seducer. Now, by the way, not only the young lust, go to a nursing home anytime and sit down and watch for a little while. Go and say amen. It's okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Humanity is humanity. Number four, guard yourself against physical beauty, provocative clothes, and provocative acts. Most know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. Now, understand, let me give a side note here. Understand, beauty is not a sin. It's not a woman's fault if she's gorgeous, if she's pretty. I thank God for pretty people. I wish I was more pretty. But beauty is not a sin. Being an attractive person is not a sin. But we need to be careful how we package it. The Bible says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle at heart. Most who do what they do, they know what they're doing and they're subtle with it. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. After the third time in 1 hour, you didn't mean to. Now, harlots don't dress the way they do to be unattractive to men. They do it to draw the eye. And we are naturally attracted to people of the opposite sex. And that can be aided along, if you know what I mean, by less attire. And that has to be guarded against. Now, one group we look and we're tempted to lust, and the other group we look and we laugh. But both are wrong. Both are wrong. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. We're talking about the seductive tools that are used 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Her beauty is there, but don't lust after that. One man said, well, you're not guilty if you just go by the road. Said, well, there's a pretty woman, but you are guilty if you go around the block so that you can take another look. Yeah. When men and women started working together, far more prevalently, the adultery rate went way up. Ask the U.S. Navy about their problems. If you can get them to give you a straight answer. Ask them about their tours when they're out on that ship with the opposite sex for long periods of time. The problems that they face out there. Not so wise after all. Now, a good-looking person, be they men or women, I know men because I've heard women say so. I know it from personal experience. But a good-looking woman is hard to ignore. She draws a lot of attention, doesn't she? All you got to do is go to the mall and just watch people, and you'll see it. Now, I would say, if you happen to be one of the pretty people in this world, take care that you cover the package better. And in a way that doesn't overly draw attention to your beauty. I'm not saying now wear a sack and be a hag, you know, and you can still wear your makeup and all of that, but I'm saying don't put on the dog. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to put on the dog to just make every man in the mall want you. You don't have to do that, and you shouldn't do that. You can still be beautiful, but be mindful of the problem with your fellow man. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Number 5, do not believe everything you hear. Now, most women are better at this than men. Men have an ego. Oh, boy, do we have an ego. And we like that ego to be fed. That's why we do not like our women to put us down. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like our women. We want our women to think, you know, we're bigger than anybody, stronger than everybody, better looking than anybody. I mean, we're more man than any man on the planet. Whoa, yeah. I like it. Don't you? Yeah, you do, don't you? So we like when somebody kind of fills our ear and makes us feel like $1 million. We like it a lot, don't we? And women, if they want to tempt you, know that we like it a lot. And they know how to push those buttons. And some are professionals at it. Women, on the other hand, they're not so gullible when it comes to such things, it seems. They have an ego. I've learned they do have an ego. But I've learned I don't think it's quite so big as men's. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Ladies, say amen. I don't think it's quite so big as men's. But the Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 7, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. So she's speaking now in his ear. He's listening to her. And she knows how to talk real good. And she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now, she doesn't get him in a headlock and throw him down and smooch him, you know. She'll let him do that to her, but he's going to be motivated by what she's telling him. Yeah. Now, preachers like to hear good job, preacher, good sermon, preacher, so keep them coming. No, really, keep them coming. And we all like to hear them. But flattery is as dangerous as the tongue is dangerous. Now, I'm not one of those that, you know, you have to be such a stick in the mud you can't give anybody a compliment. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in extremes in that. But I will tell you, flattery can be dangerous. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 8 of chapter 3 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So flattery is one of the evil uses of the tongue, and women are far better with the tongue than men. How they speak. They know how to talk. And if they want to get their way, they know how to do that too, with their mouth and what they say. And if they want you to feel like $1 million to get their way, they can do that better than anybody on the planet, including your dog. Flattery is one of the evil uses of the tongue. And men and women who are bent on immorality, you can expect the tongue to be engaged. Expect it. Expect it. It's going to be engaged. By the way, for preachers, compliments at the door of the service should be smelled, not digested. Just take a good sniff and let it go. You're not that good. Tim LaHaye tells a story. Tim LaHaye is a good man, and he did good work in the Lord. He tells a story of preaching at a meeting, and we had to drive about 30 minutes away to the church every night. And he's a guest preacher, and a very attractive, as his story goes, a very attractive young lady attended every night. And always made a point to come to him after the service. And he got where he's looking forward to her coming up to him, you know. Why not? She's a beautiful girl. Complimented him every night on his messages. Building his what? Ego. He said, really, honestly, I was eating it up. What man wouldn't? You know, beautiful woman. Compliment him how good of a sermon it was. One night she invited him over for coffee and pie, saying her husband would be at home. Well, he decided he'd go. What a lovely lady, you know. He went and walked in and didn't see a husband or kids in the house. And he asked, well, where's your husband? Oh, he went to the store. He'll be back in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So politely excusing himself, he fled. So he was the target. His ministry would have been ruined. He said the situation may have been harmless. It's possible that he was at the store. It's possible. It's possible. Not likely. Not in an adult world. Not likely. But at best, it did not look good. And at worst, it could have been disastrous. He said he never regretted that decision to leave, and all it cost him, if anything, was a piece of pie. Those who followed Joseph's example of fleeing will never regret it. But you better take heed to run if you need to. I'll tell a story of a preacher who's a friend of mine, my elder, years ago, and I didn't have many mentors. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I want to try to be a better one to the younger guys. And he tells the story about when he was younger, and he wanted his wife to understand, you know, the temptations that he had to face. And she was that's nothing. Well, she was not privy to all of those occasions. And so at times he was tempted, and he didn't want to be tempted, but he was tempted nonetheless. And one time, a woman that just kind of had that feel, you know, said, I want you to come to the house. There's some things I need to talk to you about. Preacher, I really need to talk to you about this. And he says, well, okay, I'll come over. So he decided, well, I'll go by and I'll just pick up the wife on the way over. So he goes by and picks up his wife and goes over to the house and knocks on the front door. She opens the door and she's got her nightie on. Well, of course, then she sees the wife standing there. She didn't expect the wife. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry, covering herself up, you know. I'm so sorry. I forgot you were coming. Uh-huh. in Hebrew, uh-huh. I forgot you were coming. Sure you did, sweetheart. Sure you did. Well, they went in. She made up some kind of story to justify why she wanted to need to talk to the preacher, you know. She made that story up. They left and got into the car, started back to the house to drop her off, and he'd go back to the office. I'm trying to be very careful because I'm likely to call his name, and I don't want to call his name. But she realized then the type of pressures and temptations that her husband had been facing for a long time. And she was not dwelling with knowledge as she should have been. And she told her husband, she called his name, first name. That's what she always called him, first name. She said, "Now I understand. Now I understand." And she told her husband, "Anytime you need me, I'm yours. Anytime. Yes, sir. Anytime from now on." Now, that's a good woman. She now understood the temptations, and she wanted and needed to dwell with knowledge with her man, see, to protect him, protect their marriage, protect their home. Now, this man, you'd have to know him, was a great card and a great character. He loved to laugh. And he always had a great sense of humor. And he said, "You know what I said? You know what I said when she told me that? Now come on. You know what I said?" I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Hot dog!" Amen. We'll get to more. And then probably turn into Wednesday night for a few of the points. Is that all right? Where the kids would be doing their thing. Okay, let's stand.